What is the one thing that I cannot afford to neglect in my life? Think about that for a moment. Of all the things, all the responsibilities that you have, what is the one thing that you cannot afford to neglect? Have you ever noticed that maybe some of the most important things in our life are often the easiest thing to neglect? For example, I bet none of us wake up in the morning and say, you know what, this week I think I'm going to neglect my wife, husband. Or you wake up and say, man, like, I'm just too busy for my kids. Like, no one says that. But if we're not careful, we can begin to neglect those things. And it's not because we don't love our spouse or love our kids, but it's because we get busy and get distracted with so many things. You try to keep the house together. You try to make dinner. You try to get the kids here. You try to manage your job and all these things. And life gets busy. You blink and you think to yourself, where in the world did the week go? Anybody felt like that before? So busy. And here's the hard part. The things that crowd out what matters most are actually not necessarily bad things. Sometimes they're good things. Family, work, relationships, ministry. But if we are not careful, we can spend all of our time doing important things while neglecting the most important thing. And that's what I want to draw our attention to this morning. So let's wrestle with this question. What if the greatest danger isn't doing bad things? What if it's allowing good things to keep us from doing the one thing that we need to do the most? And that's exactly where Jesus meets us in our passage. So I want to invite you to turn to Luke chapter 10. We're going to start reading in verse 38. And I want you to follow along with me through the end of the chapter. This is how it reads. Now as they went on their way, Jesus entered a village, and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. But the Lord answered her, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things, but one thing is necessary. And Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken from her. If you're taking notes this morning, and I hope that you are, I want you to write this down. This is the main idea of our sermon today. Being with Jesus must be our first priority. And I realize when I say that, some of you are thinking, duh. But so many times in our life, we allow our relationship to Jesus to take a back seat to the other things in our life. And this morning, I just want to call us to remember and to recommit to making our relationship with Jesus the first thing in our life. That's the big idea this morning. So the question then is, what does it look like to make Jesus, or being with Jesus, the priority in our life? And Jesus answers that question right here for us in the text. And I want to show you two things, two responses that every disciple of Jesus must make. Okay? Number one, don't let the many things distract you. That's point number one. Don't let the many things distract you. Look again with me at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she went up to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me alone? Tell her then to help me. Remember, Martha is the one who welcomed Jesus into her home. Like, she was doing a good thing. And in that culture, like, hospitality was very important. So making sure everything was just right was very important. And so she was running around the house doing all of these things. The problem was not that Martha was serving. The problem was that her serving had begun to distract her from the one whom she was serving. She was preoccupied with all the things that needed to be done around the house to make it just right for Jesus, that she actually missed Jesus being in her home. Luke says that she was distracted with much serving. And that word distracted actually carries the idea of being pulled away or being pulled in a different direction. Martha is physically in the same house as Jesus, but she was being pulled away. Her attention and her affection was being pulled away from him. And I want you to notice the contrast here. Two sisters. Number one, Mary is sitting at the feet of Jesus, and Martha is being pulled away from Jesus. Both of these women are close to him physically, but only one of them is truly attentive to him. Church family, it is possible for us to be around the things of Jesus and to miss him entirely. You can attend church. You can serve on a team. You can read all the Christian literature. You can go on mission trips. You can do all these things and yet not be with Jesus. I think that's where Martha was. Jesus said, "You're distracted with many things." Again, not necessarily bad things. But there's one thing. There's one thing that you must do. Martha's activity was good. But the one thing, the good thing, had taken place of the most important thing in her life. So when our hearts are pulled in many directions, anxiety is not far behind. Look at Martha and her story. In verse 41, it says, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" Now think about this for a moment. Martha was trying to manage everything around her, but it seems like everything around her had begun to manage her. She was not just busy. Jesus says, "You're anxious, distracted by all the things that are around you." It says she was troubled. And her mind was scattered among all the things that she needed to do. And that's what many things do. They're not necessarily bad things, but they can distract us from the one thing. They compete for our attention. Many things are not the things that simply fill our calendar, but they begin to rule our hearts if we're not careful. And then anxiety sets in, and it spills over into every other area of our lives. Maybe we become like Martha and we start seeing people in a different way. In fact, we see here that Martha's anxiety actually had turned into resentment. Listen to Martha's words. She says, "Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone?" You see that? That Martha's distraction had actually turned into anxiety for her. And now her anxiety was causing resentment in her heart. And she looks at Mary and she thinks, "Why isn't she doing all the things that I'm doing? Like, why isn't she helping me?" If we're not careful, we begin to resent those who don't seem to carry the same things that we're carrying. And eventually, we may even be like Martha and question the care of Jesus. Look what she says. "Lord, don't you see how much I'm doing? Don't you see how tired I am? Don't you see that Mary's not helping me?" Martha was serving Jesus, but her service had left her frustrated with her sister, and it left her disappointed in Jesus. And then, look what she does next. She tries to control the situation. She says, "Tell her then to help me." So Martha is no longer asking Jesus what she should do. She's telling Jesus what he should do. "Hey, you see my sister? She's sitting there doing nothing. Like, tell her to get up and help me." So Martha has already decided what matters most to her. And now she wants Jesus to support her. And isn't that often how we live our lives? That we make up our mind that, man, these are the most important things. And this is what I should be doing. Instead of allowing Jesus to reorder our lives, we ask him to bless the order that we've already chosen for ourselves. We want him to help us to manage the many things rather than asking whether the many things are even necessary. How often do you stop and ask, "Jesus, should I be carrying this? Have I allowed the good things to take place in my life, the things that belong to you, have I allowed those to be drawn away from my life? Has my attention been divided? And what I'm simply saying to us this morning is that, man, we have busy lives. We have so many things going on, especially getting to this time of the season. You know, for many of us, vacation ends, school starting back, we settle into the new routines, and we sit down and fill up our calendar, and it's a temptation to have this thing slammed full with all the stuff we have to do, going to practices, taking the kids here, joining this group, doing this thing, and those are great things. Those are all important things. But the temptation might be for us to get to the end of the day and forget the one thing. And that's what Jesus is saying to Martha. The problem with many things is that they not simply make us busy. It's the problem is that they can if we allow them to pull us away from Jesus. And notice what Jesus says. I love this. It says to Martha, verse 41, "But the Lord answered her, 'Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things.'" I want you to notice the voice is not a voice of condemnation. You've messed this up. But it's a voice of compassion. Jesus is not trying to embarrass Martha. He sees her. He sees how she's distracted and how she's built up with anxiety within and frustration. And he lovingly calls her back, "Martha, Martha." Church family, Jesus is not standing over us as anxious and distracted people with his arms folded. "What are you doing?" He's calling us back to himself, back from anxiety, back from resentment. He's calling us back to his feet. I love how, I hate how easily this can take place in my life. Whenever I face a situation I can't control, I usually respond myself in one of two ways. Number one, I try to fix it. Have you done that before? Are you like that? That you're in this situation and you need to find a solution, whatever it is. Maybe it's a job. And I try to fix it. I try to convince myself that if I just think hard enough, if I work hard enough, if I find the right solution, then everything's going to be okay. Anybody else like that in the room? Or if I can't fix it, I begin to worry about what's going to happen next. And I begin to, as my wife says, obsess over it. In fact, my wife told me that I have ADHD. And listen, if you tell her I said this, I will lie to her face and say I didn't. I think she might be right. Because I have a tendency to hyperfixate on things. And so if there's a problem, if there's an issue, like I want to fix that thing. And I keep thinking about it over and over and over. And as I'm thinking about this right now, a situation like this happened in my family recently, where I'd come home from work, and there was this thing that was just on my mind. And my kids, all they wanted was dad's attention. But all I could think about was how I fix this thing. We got to find a solution here. And I caught myself in the moment thinking, what in the world are you doing? You have kids right here who want to play with you, who want your attention. You've been gone all day from work, and you're thinking about all the things that you had to do at work. Anybody else like that? Have a situation like that? That's exactly what Jesus is saying to Martha. That you're worried and bothered about all these things. But my kids need me in that moment to sit with them and to be with them. That's the one thing that I need to do. But yet I'm distracted about the other things. And if we're not careful, that can be our life with Christ. We have our jobs. We have all these things we have to do. And we neglect to sit at the feet of Jesus. That was Martha's problem. She wasn't distracted by something sinful. She was distracted by something good, actually. She wanted to be hospitable for Jesus. But she was missing Jesus at the same time. I want to say this to you, that Martha's struggle is not difficult for us to understand. Why? Because we may not be preparing a meal for Jesus, but we know what it's like to have our attention pulled in 100 different directions. So So let me ask you this plainly this morning. What are the many things in your life right now? What are they? If you think about those, what are all the things that you need to be doing? What are the best, what are the things that receive the best of your time? What are the things that receive like all of your energy and your focus? What are the things that perhaps pull you away from being with Jesus? For some of us, it's work. We leave the office, but really the office never leaves us. We come home thinking about the spreadsheet or the relationship at work or how you got to get this task to completion, how this project has to be finalized. For others, it's family. Maybe it's your family schedule. You have school, you have games, practices, appointments, activities, responsibilities. None of those things are bad, but our lives can become so full that there's no margin left for Jesus. For some of us, it's our phone. Preaching to the choir here. There's a moment of silence and we reach for our phone. We got nothing else to do, so we scroll. And we say to ourselves, you know what, I just don't have time to read and pray. But if we looked at our screen time report, it might say a different story. For some of us, it might even be ministry, church, things. That we serve Jesus, that we talk about Jesus, that we prepare for Jesus, that we help other people in their relationship with Jesus. But we've stopped spending meaningful time with him ourselves. And the question is not whether these things are important. All those things are important. The question that we have to ask ourselves is, have the many things begun to pull us away from the one thing that matters the most? And one way to answer that question is to look at the things that are producing in your life right now. Think about for a moment. What are the things that you do? What are the things that are constantly all in your mind? Where is your focus? The answer to that question will tell us the things that are the priority in our lives. Those may be signs that there are many things. The many things are not simply filling our schedule, but they are beginning to rule in our hearts. So ask the Lord, what needs to be removed? What needs to be rearranged in my life? What are the things I need to stop doing so much of? Some of us keep waiting for life to slow down so we can make time for Jesus. But life rarely slows down on its own. There will always be another task, another notification, another deadline, another event you have to go to, another need. And the many things will always ask us for more. So we must intentionally protect what matters the most. You hear what I'm saying? Not because everything is bad, but because being with Jesus must be our first priority. The many things, they matter, but they cannot matter the most. So Jesus does not simply tell Martha she's wrong. He points her to the thing that's necessary this morning. And I just want to encourage you. Think for a moment for yourself. Like, what are the many things that you are doing? And have they begun to distract you from being with Jesus? Let's look at verse 42. Jesus said, but one thing is necessary. Martha, you're worried and anxious about so many things, but one thing is necessary. That's what Jesus says. That leads us to our second response that every disciple must make. And here it is. Choose the one thing. We have to choose the one thing. I want you to notice the contrast that Jesus makes. Martha is anxious and troubled about many things. But Jesus says there is one thing that is necessary. Martha had begun to believe that the many things were important enough for her to be drawn away from her attention with Jesus. And Jesus says there's one thing that deserves her attention. Verse 39 tells us, and she had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his preaching, his teaching. Now, Mary chose to sit at the feet of Jesus and listen to his word. Now, in this time, someone sitting at someone's feet was a posture of being a disciple or a follower. So Mary was not simply resting. She wasn't being lazy while her sister Martha worked. What was she doing? She was taking the position of a student. And she was giving Jesus her attention. And the Bible says that she was receiving his word. So Mary understood that before she did anything for Jesus, she needed to receive from Jesus. So she chose being with him before doing something for him. And I just want to say that, man, that is our first and primary calling in our life. That God's primary call on your life is not to do something for him. I think many of us get that confused. I think, like, I gotta obey Jesus. I gotta do this. God's primary calling on your life is not to do something for him, it's to be with him. I don't want you to miss that. Because we can get like Martha and get distracted and doing all the Christian things, all the church things, that you're serving the Lord and doing all these great things. But if we're not being with him, we've missed the point. Let me illustrate it for you. In Mark chapter 3, Jesus is with his disciples. And it says in verse 13 that he went up on the mountain and called to him those whom he desired. And they came to him, and he appointed 12, listen, so that they might be with him and he might send them out to preach. I want you to notice the order that Jesus gives when he calls his disciples. He says he called them first and foremost. Okay, they did great things. Like they took the faith all over the known world. Like did some amazing things as the followers and gave their life for Christ. But what does Jesus say? He said that he called them to himself that they might be with him. And out of being with him, then it says, then he sent them out to preach. And I just want to say to you this morning that whoever is listening, that God's primary calling on your life is not to do something for him, but it's to be with him. We cannot neglect our intimacy with the Father. I want to encourage you, choose the one thing. Choose the one thing. And that's exactly what Jesus is telling us this morning. The issue is not whether disciples should serve. The issue is that what comes first? What comes first? Our life for Jesus must flow from our life with Jesus. Otherwise, even our service can become anxious. Even in our serving, we can become resentful and frustrated. And that's what happened to Martha. She was trying to pour out without actually slowing down to receive from Jesus. And Jesus says that Mary chose the right thing. She chose to be at his feet. Look at verse 42. But one thing is necessary. Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. That portion means an allotted part, an inheritance, a prized possession, a greatest treasure. So what is Jesus saying? That Mary didn't just simply choose the better activity, she chose the good portion. This idea of portion is something we see all throughout Scripture, especially in the book of Psalms. In Psalm 73, verse 26 says this, "My flesh and my heart may fail, but God is my strength, the strength of my heart and my portion forever." The psalmist understood that God does not merely give us good things, that God himself is the good thing that he gives us. You see the distinction there. Jesus tells Martha, listen, Mary has chosen the good thing. What has she chosen? Me. She's chosen me. Not doing these things, but being with me. That's what Mary chose. Church family, Jesus is not merely one more good thing to fit into our already crowded life. He is, as he says, the good portion. He's our inheritance. He's our prized possession. He's our treasure. That's what Jesus says to her. He's not just one priority among many priorities. He is the one who gives every other priority the proper place in our life. So the solution to distraction is not simply becoming better at managing our time. That's not what I'm saying. It's seeing Jesus as more valuable than any other thing in our lives. Because when Jesus becomes precious to us, being with him is no longer something we merely have to do. We get to be in his presence. We get to know him. And it becomes something that we desire. We want to come and sit before him because his word gives us life. That his presence gives us hope. And as we are with him, he fills us. And there's something that Jesus does for us that nothing in this world can do for us. He gives us peace in the midst of our storms. He gives us hope. He gives us promises. He gives us joy. And nothing else in this life can give us the thing that Jesus gives us. He is our portion. And I want you to notice what he said there at the very end of verse 42. And it will not be taken away from her. I think it's ironic because everything that Martha was doing was temporary. Like she was preparing the house. She was probably cooking the food. She was, you know, cleaning here, sleeping here, whatever she was doing. All those things were temporary. But what Mary received from Jesus would remain forever with her. His word would shape her. His presence is a thing that would change her. So here's the point that I'm trying to make. Many of the things that demand our attention are temporary. They're temporary. That deadline's going to pass. That season of life that you're in right now will change. That project is going to be completed. That achievement you're after is going to fade away. But his presence, time spent with Jesus, is never wasted. It will remain with us. That's why David says this in Psalm 27, verse 4. He says, "One thing have I asked of the Lord, that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze upon the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple." David says, one thing. Not because nothing else mattered in his life. David was a king. He had responsibility. He had people to manage. He had all these things he had to do. But he said, one thing. See, all those things were beneath this desire that David had, that he wanted to be with the Lord. And that is the heart of a disciple. Not a life with no responsibilities, not a life with no work, but a life in which Jesus remains our first priority. So Mary understood something Martha had forgotten. The many things may be urgent, but Jesus is necessary. What am I saying to us? Church family, Mary's choice must become our choice. Must become our choice. And here's the thing, Jesus will not become our first priority by accident. Like nobody, none of us like stumble into, you know, being a prayer warrior. Oh man, I'm just praying, like I'm full of prayer now. That was kind of weird, but you get what I'm saying, right? Like discipleship doesn't happen by accident. It takes intentionality. It takes saying, I'm going to do this and not this, or I'm going to do this before I do this, or I'm going to set this time aside so I have it with Jesus so I don't lose this here. And over time, making those decisions and those sacrifices, that's how we grow in our relationship with Jesus. So if we don't choose to be with Jesus every day, everything else will gladly take its place. I don't have to tell you that. You know that already. So let me ask you this. Is being with Jesus actually the first priority of your life? I'm not asking you, is Jesus important to you? And I don't want you to lie to yourself. Nobody's taking a quiz here. But I want you to ask, like, is Jesus the most important thing in my life? Does he take the seat above everything else? Ask yourself that question. I believe many of us, we would say Jesus is important to us. We'll say, yeah. But does the way you live show that being with Jesus is your first priority? When's the last time that you had a consistent prayer life? When's the last time that you spent time in his word consistently? The answer to those questions actually tell us what our priorities are. Because our priorities are not found in what we say matters. They're revealed in what we consistently choose. And Mary had other things that she could have been doing. She had other demands around her. But when Jesus was speaking, she chose to sit at his feet. And every one of us must make that same kind of choice. Now, the question is, what does it look like for us to sit at the feet of Jesus? Jesus is not here, physically present in this moment. So what does it look like for us to sit at his feet? And I'll just say this, that the Bible is God's word, that he is speaking to us. I saw a video clip a couple weeks back, several weeks back now. There's this young kid and his pastor, and the young kid was at his pastor, and he said, "Pastor, like, I want to hear God's voice. I want to hear him speaking to me." And the pastor said, "Open your Bible, read it." And he's like, "No, you don't understand. Like, I want to hear his voice." And the pastor responded, "Well, read it out loud." And I thought that was so profound. Because listen, maybe we're saying to this ourselves, "I need God to show me. I need God to speak this to me." But we're neglecting his word. Listen, the Bible is the primary way that God has chosen to speak to us. That everything that's in these bookends is what we need for life and holiness. And so the way that we sit at his feet is to open his word and to devour it, to feast on his word, to learn and to obey. So how do we sit at Jesus' feet? We prioritize opening his word. We read it. And we read it. We only spend time with Jesus when nothing else is happening. We will rarely spend time with him, right? Anybody else experience that? There's something always going on. There's always another task. There's always another message to sin. There's another responsibility. There's another reason to put things off. The many things will never come to you and say, "You know what? You've done enough things today. Go read your Bible." Like, that's not how it works. Right? We have to choose the one thing. And that's what I'm saying to you this morning. Let us not be like Martha, who Jesus said was distracted and worried about all these things. But let us be like Mary and choose the one thing. So here's literally what I'm saying to you this morning. This week, as you sit down and you think about your schedule, and you begin to mark out your calendar, start with Jesus. What is the one thing that you cannot afford to neglect this week? Being with Jesus matters more than completing a morning devotional. It's living in attentive dependence upon him through his word, through prayer, through worship, through obedience. The goal is not for us to simply open the Bible and finish our reading plan for the day so we can check off a box. But the goal is for us to bring our hearts in prayer before him, to allow his truth to shape who we are, what we think, and what we desire. In fact, this is what Jesus says in John chapter 15. He says, "Abide in me and I in you. As a branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. For apart from me, you can do what? Nothing." What is Jesus saying? He's literally saying a branch does not produce fruit by itself. It must be connected to the vine. It can't just produce fruit by trying harder, trying to find solutions, doing the many things. It only produces fruit by remaining connected to the vine. And listen, the same thing is true for us. The same thing is true for us. You cut a vine off the branch, it may be green for a little while, but death is at the doorsteps. It's disconnected from the source of life. It has already begun to die. Maybe that's some of us, that we've not been abiding in Christ. And you've been coming to church. You've been going to small group. You've been serving on a team. You look green, if you will. But if we stay disconnected, we will wither and die. Because we're connected to the source of life. We cannot continually pour out what we are not receiving. We must be with Jesus. So, here's a practical question. What must you choose so that being with Jesus truly becomes your first priority? What must you choose so that being with Jesus becomes your first priority? In other words, what are the things that you need to protect? What habits need to change? Like, what distractions need to be removed from your life? What boundaries or margins do you need to establish for yourself so that Jesus is not getting the leftovers? Listen, the many things are important, but one thing is necessary. Jesus said, Mary has chosen correctly. She's chosen the one thing. Church family, as we close this morning, I want to encourage us that we cannot allow the many things to take precedence over our relationship with Jesus. We cannot.